Welcome to another Paul Hastings podcast. I'm here with Michael Cohen, partner and chair of the Antitrust and Competition Practice at Paul Hastings. Today we are going to discuss recent developments in antitrust law. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Melanie. Great to be here.
So tell us a bit about what you have been seeing in the way of antitrust developments in the first half of 2012.
Well, Melanie, we've been seeing, I think, a continuation of three trends that we saw developing over the second half of 2011. First, in the criminal cartel enforcement arena, the government appears to be on a continued pace for yet another year-over-year record for fines, particularly coming out of Japan cartels in the auto parts industry. The division and the FTC have embarked yet again on another year of very, very aggressive antitrust enforcement. The Apple e-books case is both aggressive in terms of its reach as well as its theory, and stands to mark a potentially new and important law in an area that is relatively complicated, and it also looks like it will be challenged, and we'll get to see this play out over some period of time. And lastly, we continue to see a focus in antitrust enforcement, both privately with private civil plaintiffs as well as government enforcers in the technology arena, particularly with respect to platform technologies and technologies that gain quick footholds through market leadership.
Very interesting. In 2011, U.S. law enforcement agencies focused almost exclusively on non-U.S. companies and cartels operating outside the United States. Why do you think that is, and will this continue to be a focus for the DOJ and SEC?
You know, taking the question of why it is, the government here in the United States would probably say one reason for that is that the U.S. cartel laws have been criminally enforced and criminal violations since the 1890s, and as a consequence, there is a greater deterrent built into the United States corporate culture through familiarity with the criminalization of price fixing. But some additional factors might be this. Overseas, the standards, for the most part, and by overseas I mean outside of the United States, the standards are actually different. They're more civil infringement standards, and criminal enforcement is rare, even in jurisdictions that have criminalized cartel behavior. And as a consequence, companies are more ready to plead, if you will, or admit liability to civil infringements and pay fines that then subsequently turn into criminal prosecutions by U.S. authorities if the pleas overseas outside the United States are in areas of multinational competition that trade in the United States as well. And, of course, there's always the difference in economies. What is criminal behavior in the United States is potentially nationalist pro-competitive behavior in China. Not every economy applies the United States' view of competition to their market structure. And that can lead to problems for those nations where industries are structured and organized in a nationalist way, but exporting to the United States. So I think for all of those reasons, we're likely to see a continued focus on foreign cartels by U.S. antitrust enforcers.
You already mentioned technology as an industry of focus, but could you elaborate on some of the other industries you expect antitrust to increase in next year?
Well, the one that comes most readily to mind has got to be healthcare. It's over 30% of the gross domestic product right now, which is absolutely amazing for any single industry to be that much of the nation's GDP, and for healthcare in particular. I think that healthcare continues to be a focus for the presidential administration, and though this is an election year, I think healthcare will be a continued focus for antitrust enforcers for years to come, and that would be the one industry in particular that I think will continue to receive heightened scrutiny along with technology.
In recent years, there's been an explosion of competition laws across the world. What do you credit to this increased regulation?
One thing to credit is the and to attribute all of this to is the fact that the United States is no longer a hegemon in trade, and other nations are developing their own nationalist policies. Antitrust laws, after all, are domestic welfare statutes. They're not international statutes. And as the United States is no longer controlling trade policy, it is less able to impose its antitrust views on the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is adopting their own competition laws to regulate their own views of their own economies. And that is indeed creating quite a complex maze for multinationals competing in different markets to navigate, either by way of merger and acquisition activity or just regular straight street competition. The explosion actually has been amazing. I think 20 years ago there were less than a dozen nations with antitrust statutes, and currently there are close to 120. It has been an exponential explosion for sure, and the emerging nations of China and India are certainly in the forefront and in everybody's mind in how they will be applying antitrust laws to their own economies.
Excellent. Over the years, you've witnessed a number of cycles in the antitrust space. Do you think the market is reestablishing itself? And what, in your view, are the biggest changes in the market as a result of the recent economic downturn?
You know, I do think the U.S. market is reestablishing itself, both in terms of economy and antitrust enforcement, and those two things tend to go hand in hand, because antitrust enforcement tends to follow the hot areas of the economy. And that's an interesting dilemma for the United States as a nation. You know, certainly we're evolving from a manufacturing nation, which is really far away in our past, to an innovating nation and a technology nation, and we do continue to lead in technology and innovation. Silicon Valley is actually leading a comeback in the economy today. Maybe Northern California, not just Silicon Valley, which is a hub of venture money and more free-flowing pioneer investing. And it is paying dividends and it is paying results. And along with that comes the usual antitrust scrutiny and antitrust enforcement. And, over time it presents a very interesting dilemma, because our technology companies that grow into multinationals are in many ways scrutinized at home in ways that hamper their ability to compete overseas, whereas they're competing with multinationals whose nations support the way that those companies compete overseas. And I think we're going to continue to see technology not only be a focus of antitrust enforcement, but be a focus of our economic growth. And I think our most successful technology companies are likely to see the same handicap in their multinational competition that ensures the innovative marketplace that they enjoy here in the U.S.
Very interesting. Paul Hastings has handled some of the largest antitrust cases in the past year. What trends are you seeing in these cases in terms of market interest or appetite, and what do you think some of these cases say about the recovery in the antitrust sector?
You know, I think the one case that Paul Hastings handled over the past year that may mark all of those points was the Samsung Seagate deal. That was a large international merger in the hard disk drive space, a concentrated industry of five participants, and the deal was running concurrently with another consolidation between two other participants in the industry. So the industry was shrinking from five to three in a commoditized technology sector. And what we saw in Samsung Seagate, and I think the lesson learned, is that the United States really isn't the leader of merger review any longer. Samsung Seagate produced merger investigations, I think, in at least 13 international jurisdictions. And the key play ended up being the European Union, which was ahead of the United States and issued a robust opinion in allowing the transaction to move forward. And that robust opinion was largely followed in most other jurisdictions, with the exception of China, which was last to approve the transaction and only approved the transaction on conditions that departed from the rest of the world. The United States found itself certainly playing an important role in the merger review process, but it was either either not early enough or not late enough to be counted among the important jurisdictions, which is really unusual when you think about the fact that Seagate was headquartered in Santa Cruz, California, and is a United States company. And Samsung was, in essence, selling its hard disk drive to that U.S. business, Seagate being the U.S. acquirer. So I think that that deal, more than anything else, marks a very robust appetite for antitrust enforcement, review, and examination, and shows the international dynamic that's at work, leaving the United States to play certainly an important role, but by no means the leading role.
Thank you, Michael. These have been very interesting insights and updates, and you describe a very busy time in the antitrust sector. We thank you for your time, and we look forward to having you join us in a future Paul Hastings podcast.